Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Chat Room with Tony Wolfpaw.
I'm laughing because before I start the show, I'm talking with Rita, and I'm asking her, is it snowing over there? And then the cue to start the show comes through. You were saying... Are you having snow over there still?
Oh, it stopped snowing, but we are buried with snow. I took some pictures, and I couldn't put them on Facebook, but I did put them on my Google Plus.
Okay. Oh, gee, you're all over the place. You're on Google Plus. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Google Plus, too. We do every once in a while when we have the opportunity, mostly when we're at any location, we try to do the hangout and put the webcam on. And, well, people can tune in. But we had a lot of people coming in to the show. Remember that night? That was crazy.
Oh, yes, I do. That was
creepy.
It was, and they weren't there to really listen to the show either.
No. That was creepy. That's why we didn't do it that very much. I'm going to have to, you know, just call in the people that really want to join in. We have a chat room hangout page also. So it was creepy. I think that, well, whatever was going on that night, there were guys, there were girls, there were people dressed, there were people not so dressed. I don't even know what there was going on. There was one smoking. I don't know what. There was one that as soon as they saw you and Hassan Alenka was getting ready to hit on you guys, I'm thinking, what? Wait a minute. And first thing I was saying, hey, don't be so, remember, in Hangouts, everybody sees your webcam, so you don't really necessarily have to have your webcam out there open, right? But people still
right.
do so. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, at least I had to have my webcam on because we were on location. But it was crazy. It really was. It was funny crazy, too, because some people that we did know and other people that we didn't know how they got caught up in the whole thing. And they said, like,
yeah.
why are you inviting me? What is this? Like, if they're walking into, like if they came out of a cloud and they're in a different world. That was funny. But hey, good morning. I think the people in the chat room are starting to gather. The different paranormal radio shows and different paranormal TV shows that are out there are full of great content. Yesterday I was reading part of your post and you say that you were watching The Haunted Collector.
Yes.
You know that's one of my favorite shows?
It is.
Yes, it is. It is one of my favorite shows. The Haunted Collector with the Safis family and a good friend that we make it contact with and he's gonna be on our show. And it's like I have to nail down like the schedules. It's the schedules. We are on a morning show. They think okay, it's gonna be a podcast. I like to do my show live, and of course we always have the option to do the podcast. But many people like to listen to the live shows. Because I've noticed that when they miss it, they go, you know, well, I'll listen to it. But it's not the same. It's fun to be part of the chat room. It's fun to be part of the show while it's in the making. So we just have to find the momentum. I was going to say momentum, and I said moment. Well, we're going to have to find the right moment to bring them in. And then I was thinking, on this Saturday, we're going to have Wayne, the film director, Wayne Poe, and I saw the documentary last night, the Camarillo Hotel documentary. I saw it. Wow, Ree, the people are going to love that one because it has everything. Well, when we're talking about the paranormal, you know that evidence is one of the things that we want to see, right? So we want to see.
Yeah.
We want to see the evidence, anything that you have on the place. Well, they show many different clips of moments that was like, wow, you know, I didn't see, they mentioned a full body apparition that occurred, but the camera was like either pointing the other way. I don't know how this happened, but the thing is that everybody that was there reacted to that thing that appeared. When you say that thing, because they looked around and said, you know what? There's really nothing around this place, but we did see this, and they give a full description, and it wasn't see-through. It was something that looked solid. It looked like a person was looking, was all of a sudden appeared there with the look of, what are you guys doing here, with that kind of attitude. So it had the look. But imagine this. Now, this is what was there light at that moment? Because there was a full description, also a description of how the hair looked like. I'm going to leave these are questions that I'm going to be asking the director, Wayne Poe. Obviously, somebody was there, so I'm thinking maybe he was the one behind the camera. I don't know. But it is a interesting documentary. Remember also that I said that there was like association between the song. You remember the song? What's the title of the song?
Hotel California.
You see, I can't use that as a trivia anymore. There we are. We're doing radio. And all of a sudden, I was going to pick up the question, and you guys gave out the answer, and I'm thinking, okay, I didn't even finish the sentence. You gave out the answer of the trivia. Now, I'm thinking, well, now that you guys know the answer already, let's see if you can guess what question, you know, I was going to make. But, but... I was looking very closely to the documentary last night. It came last night. And they do mention something like that, but I don't think the Eagles, all this information is there. And so we want to make this correction. I don't think the Eagles acknowledge that it had any connection to do. But the curious thing that happened with this song is that it was either being played at the moment while it was there, and at different time from other people while they were there. So it's like that's the reason why it kind of like, I think they mentioned that. But I'm bringing this information out to you because remember that somebody is going to win that DVD, and I have it right here, and it's signed by Wayne Poe. So somebody is going to be the winner of that. And now we're going to have to come up with a new question, with a new trivia. A very good one. It better be good one, because you gave out the title. Now I'm going to give that task on to you. You're going to have to come up with a question of the trivia.
All right.
All right.
That's fine. As I say, if you do a trivia question and I can answer it right away, it's too easy.
No, and if you talk to me like in 5 seconds, I'll be giving you the answer, and it's like not cool. So somebody is going to have this in their hands, so that my job will only be sending it out to you. Someone get the information of the person that will win it, and therefore it'll be cool. But we can't play. Anyone that has already won a prize on the chat room can't play. Maybe in the near future, because we have other things that we'll be giving out, you guys are back in the game. Okay? But since I've been yapping and talking about the Hotel Camarillo documentary, and I mentioned that, it's no good of a trivia, so that can't be. It was, but it can't be. It was very close, well, yesterday. Yesterday, I like kind of realized it. I said, "Gee, did I really talk that much?" And I gave out the yes. That made me give away the secret ingredient of the Apache shampoo mix too. So whatever, you know. Now we're gonna have to have somebody else, someone else with a master degree in trivia to help us out with this thing, because I'm not drinking that Snapple anymore. Not because I'm not drinking Snapple anymore, it's because I haven't drank Snapple anymore. Because I used to get the trivia from the cap. You know, they had some cool things.
Yes.
The facts of it, well, I will get it from there. So yes, someone is going to be the winner of that DVD. We have to come out with a good trivia question, and those that have won something in the chat room will not be playing on this one. We want to give out the opportunity to other people to win too, because you know. But it's cool. You're gonna have it. You're gonna have it. It's awesome for your collection. If you're a book collector or you collect DVDs from different subjects, these come from your friends. These are production that come from your friends out there, you know, that you have in social media. So two thumbs up for Camarillo Hotel documentary, okay? Now, we talked a little bit about Bigfoot. Geez, I never thought that it was going to be such. So many people have kind of all agreed to this, that Bigfoot, if found, should be left alone.
Yes, he should.
And you know that is also in the heart of those people that are in search of Bigfoot, and that's another TV show. But I don't know if I'm correct, but did they mention that those people that are in search of Bigfoot are also going to be investigating the paranormal? I don't know. I kind of like have the feeling, or I kind of heard it somewhere. I'm not sure about that. But those that do follow this show, if you guys can give me any feedback on it, please do. But I kind of heard somewhere, I don't know where I read it, that's why I have read that, keep an eye on all the but I don't know where I saw it, that they said that the people of Finding Bigfoot, now this is the TV show, right, are also going to be researching the paranormal. I'm not sure. But sometimes people in the paranormal are going to be probably searching Bigfoot. Either way, we have some awesome shows. You mentioned The Haunted Collector. We communicated with Brian Kano, and we will have him pretty soon on the chat room too. So if watch the show. This is my advice. Watch these shows, all right? And just a few people will have an opportunity to take part also in this interview, because we're not going to be taking the phone calls all, you know. I'm going to have to rechange the whole thing of the show because I want to make it more of chat room family. You know what I mean? That's what's going to happen.
Yes.
This is going to be like you're watching a closed, what they call it, when you watch a private TV or a video conference or a pay-per-view, you got to be part of it. Yeah. Wait a minute. Well, wouldn't that affect your audience? I will know my audience more. I will know the people more that are there. Internet radio is growing, and it is impossible for me to keep note and keep track of all the people that have listened to the show. But I want to do it this way, in respect that show comes out good, that you have the opportunity to meet the guest and ask a question, and it would be good. Last time I did that, I had to do like a two-hour show thing, because it was like that long. I even had to ask for more time, and Block Talk Radio gave me more time. But now that we're working with an Apache radio network, we'll have as much time as we need to have an interview. But most of them don't have enough time, don't have that much time to give. So that's why we're going to make it very, very like the one-hour show. I'm sure that in 1 hour you have the opportunity to listen and to and for us to ask any question that will come up. It's a fun show. It's with that intent, okay? And he's the head of a production group also that is out there. I want to know what they're, you know, what's coming up, and it's going to be one of those things, you know. Thank you for saying that you were watching that, because that means that it was on air. Because the Haunted Collection wasn't on air. It was taken up. But if it's showing programs that you said, have you watched that show before?
Haunted Collector? I have seen it before, but...
Yes, Haunted. Have you seen that show before? Because you said something interesting. You said, I thought that it was a rerun. But I was asking you, did you see the Haunted Collector before? But you told me that you didn't.
Yeah, I think I've seen it maybe once before. And then I just noticed it yesterday, and I said, oh, it was like a little marathon. It was on for a little while.
Oh, that's good.
I watched it. Yeah, and it was good. I mean, I really liked it. I liked the fact that he really sent people out to investigate about the house or whatever they found to get information on it and bring it back to the people that he's doing the investigation for.
On what channel, what network was that? Do you remember what network was it?
Sci-Fi.
All right. Okay, cool. Do you see? That was a show, amongst all the other shows that I've seen, but that The Haunted Collector is one of my favorites. I told you, one of my favorite shows is The Haunted Collector. And, of course, I like Ghost Hunters. Taps, and when I saw Ghost Hunters International and I saw that they were going other places also, I love that show too. What other shows that we can mention that really... Dead Files, you know. We've been connecting with Stephen DeShavi. And he is also... It's going to be one of our future guests. Good shows like that, you know, investigate in different ways. The Haunted Collector, I like the way they start their investigations. And I hope that we keep these shows on air. You know, these shows should be kept on air. I know that it's hard because, hey, maybe they want to do some other things in that in life, but these shows should definitely be kept on air. I like Finding Bigfoot, too. I really do. I think that Renee is I like Bobo and Renee. That combination there is a very cool. The big tall guy and big tall girl. Bobo will get excited of any sound that he'll come out. Oh yeah, that you see that was a squash, and then Renee, well, everything is a squash for you. Even that shadow over there. I like that combination of the truths. There are many good ones out there. And also, the radio shows. There's one in particular that I haven't heard, but I know that they're also on Blog Talk Radio, of that Penn State Paranormal. Haven't heard much about that. I've heard a lot of things about it, but I haven't heard much about that from them. We're trying to catch up on the different paranormal shows out there because, you know, we're paranormal enthusiasts here to see what's new, what's not new. In the Hotel Camarillo, they have at one point. They mentioned equipment that was like way back old school. You're so gonna love it. You see, that's the bad thing. I'm not gonna talk more about it. I'm gonna wait for Wayne Poe to come on show, so that way we can all have a good time over here. Sherry Webb, with you, we were talking about so funny things. I'm ready to change subject. Sherry, I don't know if you can make the call, 347-884-9592. But with you, we were talking some awesome stuff yesterday. And, Jeesh, you know, talking about subjects, that was cool. Do you think that men follow instructions, yes or no? What about
no.
That? Why?
Because they don't. I've seen many men, even with instructions to put something together, I don't need it. I could do this on my own. And then you're looking at them going, well, why is there extra pieces? Don't you need that? Oh, no, that's not needed. They've even done it to a car of mine years ago. They're pulling things out and throwing it. I'm like, don't we need that part? And they're like, oh, no, it's fine. It's good. I mean, they don't. If you tell a man, you know, usually something in typical that I have dealt with men, they just in one ear and out the other because they're tuning you out. They don't listen. They don't follow anything you tell them.
Really? Hey, yeah. But wait a minute. I've seen women opening boxes, pulling out the instructions, and panicking. I've seen that. Either way, it's like funny. I've seen women that, you know, hey, they really do, like, you got to, like, shut up and learn when you watch them because, but I've seen them. Sometimes we do read instructions, but we still need help. Some instructions are not all that. Hey, I went through the other day looking for information on YouTube when, you know, that when we use YouTube, I use YouTube for reference a lot of time. Let's see if this is Sherry. It's going to be so funny. Sherry, is this you?
Hey. Yeah, it's me.
We were laughing yeah. Yesterday. But yes, now, do you think men follow instructions?
Absolutely not.
You see, no. Now there's,
you know, they just want to be able, you know, they figure, nah, she doesn't know what she's talking about. I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, do it anyway until they learn. Did you want me to tell the story?
Yes. Get ready to laugh, folks.
Hide that out. Okay, this is a story about my husband and taking vitamins. So when my daughter was younger, we lived in Florida, and I don't know if you all know what niacin is. It's a B vitamin, but it causes you to have extreme flushing and warmth all over your body, and you'll even turn red and look like you have a sunburn because it opens up your arteries and just flushes everything out. And to set the backdrop, like I told Tony, I'm Italian, so my husband always, you know, in the back of his mind was thinking mafia. He was always thinking he was going to be taken out some way. So I handed him a baggie full of vitamins on his way to work one day, and I said, whatever you do, do not take these until you have your lunch. And I said, you hear me? Don't take these. Yeah. Grabbed his vitamins, grabbed his glass of tea, got in his van, and on his way to work he went. Well, on his way to work, of course he didn't listen to what I said, took all of his vitamins, and the niacin kicked in. And he started turning red and purple, and his skin was burning. And he looked in the mirror, and he screamed, and the first thing he thought was, the bitch finally did it. She poisoned me. So he's talking to himself to get over into the slow lane, you know, on the right-hand side, thinking, oh, my God, if I pass out or I die, I don't want to take all these people out with me. And he's taking ice cubes out of his drink, and he's rubbing it all over his skin and everything, and he gets to work, and they're like, Dave, man, what's wrong with you? And he's like, I think my wife poisoned me. And to hear him tell the story, he would say that he called me to ask what I poisoned him with, but he never did. And when he got home, you know, that evening, he wouldn't talk to me, and I kept saying, what's wrong with you? And he says, what did you give me this morning? And I said, what are you talking about? Well, when he told me, it's like I told Tony, I couldn't stop laughing. I had to just get up and leave the room, and I'm like, you idiot, I told you. don't take it until you ate food. So, no, men do not listen. But he
you
learned.
See, he learned. The funny thing is that I'm just picturing, you know, he was stuck in traffic, like, and I can just picture, like, all the changes. My dad one time, he juices, like, everything, right? So, like, from different kinds of fruits and that, so we will have juice from different colors, right? So, my sister, one time, that she's like, that she will freak out of seeing mosquitoes or anything like that. She will prepare, like, her own medicinal things, right? So she did something, and she put it in a pitcher, and whatever she did looked like so much one of those juices that my dad makes. But she, in order to not, you know, she wrote with a big marker, "Do not drink this. This is a medicine," right? So it was a medicine that was meant to be put on your skin. So it wasn't to be consumed. She kept it refrigerated. So my dad, I remember, I'm in the living room, being lazy on the couch, and we were talking and watching TV. But I'm looking at my dad as he walked in, and he opened the refrigerator. He looked at the picture. I'm seeing all this, right? So I'm looking at him reading what's written on the picture. It says, "Do not drink. It's medicine. It's like skin medicine." My dad grabs a glass, pours it in the glass, and drank it. But my dad drank the whole thing. And then after drinking the whole thing, he's getting the aftertaste of the. I'm watching the whole thing, and I'm thinking, oh no. He looks at me. He starts choking. He's like, "You guys want to kill me? What? What happened? Who did this? What is this? What is this?" And he's all panicking right now. And I'm thinking, geez, that's the medicine that Judy just finished doing. But why didn't you tell me anything? But I'm thinking, I just saw you read the picture. It says, "Do not drink." I just saw you. I was watching. I was thinking, how far were you going to go with this? And then he says, "You guys are going to kill me one of these." Well, you know, that didn't happen. You know, he's well. But again, sometimes we read things and we don't either pay attention to it. I think, you know, it's part of I don't know what makes people not follow instructions. But that was funny. It was funny because I saw an example. I saw someone read something and do the contrary, not follow. But I haven't seen women do that. I don't know. Maybe I wasn't a witness to it. Are you guys still there with me?
Still here.
Okay. Rita, do you have any example of not following instructions? Wait a minute. Let's see who's this. I have someone else over here. Hopefully it's good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm Kelly Jo. How are you?
Hey, hi. Do you have any examples on people not following
instructions? Men not following instructions? Yep. One time I went on a vacation and the car dealership forgot to stick my tire, or the tire dealership forgot to put my tire in the trunk. And I got a flat tire. And I was married, and we were standing on the side of the road, my husband's cousin and swearing. I said, "Well, wait a minute, let me say a prayer." So I said a prayer, and in comes this man in a white pickup truck, dressed in white shirt, white pants, white shoes, white hair, blue eyes that sparkle. And in this pickup truck, he has everything you need to fix a flat tire. He had like a little air tank and everything. So he comes up and he gets the air tank and he jacks up the car and puts a plug in the tire and puts air in the tire. And my husband was still all upset, and he fixed it, and he went up to him, and he ribbed him in the ribs, and he said, see, God can change a tire. And after the man did my tire, he had no dirt on him at all. Then we get back in our car, we watch him drive away, and really, really, his truck evaporated.
Cool.
So that's a story of not listening, but then you had higher help.
Oh, wow. Mechanics will, anything that has to do with an assembly, I've seen people take the risk of trying to assemble things and figure things out themselves. I'm thinking, do you know how much money they put into the printing of that manual right over there? But sometimes it comes in different languages, or we just want to follow and find the logic of things.
But the engineers do it, and they don't make it clear.
Well, yeah, but still, like, for example, my dad, poor father of mine, but this is the person that gave me more examples in life than anyone else. One Christmas, bought a bicycle. He bought us a bicycle, and this was going to be a bicycle that was going to be shared. Well, there you go. He takes off all the pieces of the bike, and my dad is right in the living room. My mom said that he immediately threw away the box with the instructions and all. And there he had to assemble the whole thing, the pedal system, the whole thing came disassembled. But he threw away the box because he didn't want the box to be around. It was a gift. It was a present. It was something that was supposed to be a surprise.
Wow.
So he was assembling the bicycle, but not having any more, because he really went out and threw it out, not having any more visual reference or the instructions, he proceeded to do it himself. Now, his dad had a bike, my grandpa had a bike, but we never had a bike. So he did his best to assemble it, and when finally that gift was pulled out and was shown, that bike looked like a chopper. It was like watching, since we're talking about shows, it was like watching, you know, the Orange County chopper. It was like watching chopper, something like that. I was looking at, and I know how bicycle looks like. I'm thinking, that looks so weird. I wanted to ride it. And then the problem is that, he says, there's something, I wouldn't take it for a ride yet because I'm still working on it. And it's like, I don't know how he assembled, but some we don't, can be good in one thing and we can suck at others. I mean, we can be good, like my dad was a great cook. My dad was a pastry chef. You know, there's different kinds of chef. My dad was a pastry chef, but he also was a great cook. He never used any measuring things because he measured everything by sight. He knew it, and he worked pretty fast. He produced things in mass production, so he worked pretty fast, and he knew everything by heart. But assembling things, the mechanic of things, was not his strongest his best, to say. And it was funny. We never did make use of the bicycle. And he was with us. But then he tried to look for the box where he put it on that dumpster, and the box was gone. You know, we like to play with boxes. So the box was gone. It became a house for somebody else. Yeah. I mean, everybody, well, when I say that we love to play with boxes, I'm sure that in our youth, everyone has made their own little house somehow. Rita, are you still there, Rita?
I'm still here.
You know, when you do the camping in the living room and you know, you make your little mess. And so I'm sure that everybody knows that when you kids like to play with big boxes. So everybody, there was no box in the dumpster. So my dad was really, you know, that he couldn't do it. This also reminds me when he bought that Chinese checkers. And, you know, we didn't have the Christmas tree. So one morning he wanted to give us the gifts of Christmas, and he tried to walk in the room without waking us up, right? So we're very poor, but it was, the funny thing is that it was Chinese checkers. And I don't know if he opened the thing up, but most of the Chinese checkers will have its marble in a plastic bag or something. But this one didn't have the plastic bag inside, and all the marbles were moving around. And you know that it has this tin that makes noise. So my dad ended up walking in the dark, trying to be very silent, was trying to keep balance and not and hold all the marbles. So the only thing that you can hear was like, oh, you know, he's complaining all the way, like, oh my God. My mother was in the at the door. No lights were turned on. The only light that was in that room was light that you can see coming out from outside. The windows were a little open. So all I'm seeing is my dad. And he's trying not to make noise, but everyone was already awake, and we were watching him. Like, what is that? Why is he coming? Under whose bed he's gonna put that? And my mom was laughing, and my dad was like, "Shh, hey, son, don't laugh. You're gonna wake them up. And we were already up. It was the funniest thing. Because there's always, when a man is in that situation, there's always a woman, not far, saying, "I told you." So all I heard was like, "I told you," and of course, there you go. Do we follow instructions? But it's funny. I don't know. There's a lot of funny stories like that, and Sherry, you're still there, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we laughed. I was laughing. You shared the funniest, and I really think that if you have the opportunity to start writing those things down, that's going to be an awesome book for you. I really think so. That's going to be a great project, and we want to hear some more. There's sometimes situations, hard situations, do you have so much that you can laugh about? In the moment, maybe while you're living it, it's different. But when you look back, you can laugh about it. And that was one of my posts today. I'm saying that the harder the situation, and most of the time we live and we go through different kinds of difficulties in life, that will lead you to a better place. I firmly believe that, and I also included that on my post. I know that people are probably thinking, "What are you talking about? Where are you getting all this?" I just posted that very early this morning, and I'm not even going to go back there. I know what I wrote, but it's all about a difficult situation. You know, can change, definitely makes you suffer. Whatever your suffering is, will lead you to something, you know, to your happiness. And people say, how is that possible? We lost a lot of things when we begin life. Let's say, wait a minute, what is that? This is a little something. You don't have to follow these things. I just want to share something with you, as if I shared it with anyone of members of our clan. Difficult situations are there for a reason. These life lessons, like not following instructions, like seeing something shining in the road and you think it's a penny or a coin, and you walk close and it's just something insignificant that just caught your attention. Many times our life will take us to many different situations, but I'm talking about the difficulties, the sufferings. And when I talk about the difficulties, the sufferings, I refer to that as poison. In most of our little clans, we think that, you know, most of our medicine has been taken away, and we have to bring it back to our lives. And the best medicine is life itself, with all the life lessons, right? I talked about people not following instructions. People will do anything, and we will take any course in our life, any path, and it is all absolutely the correct thing to do. Whether it's the wrong thing, it's still the correct thing, because Creator does not discriminate. So good and bad is like there. It's what you do. It's what you make out of it. Okay? That's what gives you, and people call it that willpower, right? So a difficult situation, the suffering of the moment, you're crying, you're sad, there's nothing, you're depressed, you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go. That poison there could be changed into good medicine. Yeah, hang on, you have to really put, and some people say, how much effort, how much do I have to put up? You know, I tell you this as an example. I was told that I have no ambition in life. And the same day I was told that I have no ambition in life, I was told, and I think, I don't love you anymore. I took enough, you know, that was a morning that I will never forget. But I remember what I did, because that wasn't a conversation. Those were the last words I heard, and that person left. So there was no one else there for me to talk to. I just looked at the mirror. I looked myself at a mirror in my room, and the dumbest thing ever. I took my phone and I took a picture of myself. The selfies, I took a picture of myself. And the silence of that, I'll confess to you, that destroyed me. I felt that world tumbling down, like they say. I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, can poison really be turned into medicine? And I said, if I can strike a smile right now, I will believe it. And I took that deep breath, and I assessed the area like if a disaster occurred. I looked at everything around me. And then I had remembered that I had received the message. I said, everything that you see here is really not for you. And it was everything I had worked for. And I'm thinking, how fair can that be? But I looked at myself at the mirror, and as I was thinking, can poison really be changed into medicine? I grabbed the camera, and I took a picture, and I said, if I can smile at this moment, I think that'll be true. I took that picture of me. And ever since I said that, and I decided to smile, and I accepted that situation that says, well, I have to respect the life of that other person, and I also have to respect my life as well. So everything that was said to me was something that did not reflect my true feelings inside, and I understood it reflected more the person's feeling. So the the word saying you're not ambitious in life, or like other people might have heard, or like if I don't know, people when they say you're worth nothing, does not really reflect you. It reflects that other person's spirit. It's not that they're thinking that they're, you know, they're saying it to themselves, but it's a reflection of themselves. Words mirror who you are. It really does. And I, in front of that mirror, took that opportunity to understand that in that very simple way. But I learned it coming from a difficult situation. I want to share this with you because I don't want you to think, say, oh, Tony, that wishful thinking. Oh, that's easy for you to say because you've never been through this or never been through that. Of course we've been through a lot of situations, but I share with you that. So the post that I left this morning on my Facebook has a lot to do with that situation. But it has, I'm thinking, if it helped me, it can help someone else. So that's the reason why I share. And you know, here, we're probably thinking, how do we went from the instructions to this? You know, whether we follow instructions or not, you'll always find your way. It's what's on your path, it's on your path. Okay? Whether you know what to do or not, you have to learn one thing. Everything that you say, everything that you put your attention on, like if you follow the instructions or not, you using visual reference, so you use the box or the picture. I'm going to assemble this, so make it look like that, you know, in a simple way. Or I'm going to go to the step by step by step by step. Or I have nothing to follow, so I don't know nothing what to do. Trust in your good spirits. Trust in your spiritual guide. And the power of the sound of your voice will make things happen. If you're in a difficult situation, like not knowing what part or where's that instruction, don't feel lost. You know, people say, oh, I have to rush, I have to... No. Try to be calm. Take a good... Assess the situation and you know, think about changing that poison into medicine. Believe me, a difficult circumstances, whether it sounds rare, a difficult circumstance, when things suck, it can go good. Take that opportunity to learn something from it, okay? Because if we run away, it's not really something. It's like my dad trying to look for the box that he threw away, and since he couldn't find it, then he's going to come back like saying, well, there it is. Ooh, I screwed up, you know. Let's not be running around for that box. Let's not run around looking for the instructions that we threw away. Think within yourself. Look at yourself, and your spirit will guide you. Okay, that's the best compass that you have. The best instructions that you have comes from within. And you know, it will connect you to a higher source that is within. Okay, that light shines from within. I don't know if I made sense today. Did I just make sense right now, what I just said?
Yes, you did.
You did.
Everybody's agreeing with you.
Okay.
Energy flows where intention goes. So if we focus on the negative. You know, I watched The Secret, and it's so true, because it was saying that all of your thoughts and your way of thinking, where you are now, what's coming to you now, is a product of all of the things that we've thought of. And you know, everybody, you know, you hear the saying "misery loves company" and all of that, and it's true. Even if it's something that we don't want. Let's say, I don't want this to happen. I don't want that to happen. We put so much thought and energy and focus on what we don't want to happen that we actually bring it into being, because that's where our energy and intention is going. So if we
allow ourselves to think and see all of these positive things coming to us, then that's how we start to make the change within us. And Tony, you're talking about poison and somebody else poisoning you and then it turning into medicine. And I agree with you. I was there, you know, when spirit speaks, and I'll share a story about my husband. We're not together now, but when I met him, when we first started dating, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, "This is the man you're going to marry. And I want you to teach him about God and family and love." And I took that very seriously. And I was such an outgoing person. I mean, you know, flirty, fun, you know, positive and everything else. And, you know, when I was with this person, I just lost myself, because here was this person that had taken all of the things from his past. And like you said, Tony, it's a mirror of how they're feeling. It's not necessarily you. But when you're in it, you don't see that right away. And all I kept hearing from him was, you know, "You're a worthless piece of crap." Meanwhile, I'm trying to be the best wife, the best mother. I know I'm being good to this person. I know I'm doing what was asked of me. But because this person had such a bad self-image of himself in the past and always saying, you know, "I didn't have a family life and we didn't do this and we didn't do that." And I would always say, "You didn't have, but you have now. You've been given a family. And yet, because of the poison that's still in your spirit, you're throwing it away." And it took going through years and years of me being practically beat down, not physically, but verbally, mentally, to where I didn't know who I was anymore, to have to realize, you know, one day the light bulb just went off and said, "You know what, I would always say, "What did I ever do so wrong? What was it?" And it wasn't until Spirit showed me, "It's not you. It's this person. And this is their perception, and this is how they are," you know. And it wasn't to be taken personally, but yet you do take it personally because you're in that situation. But all of that poison was turned into medicine for me, because now I'm in a totally different place, and I was able to look back and go, "It wasn't me." And that, yeah, I did everything that I could to be, you know, to be a light for this person. And that was part of my journey, and that made me who I am today. It made me stronger. It made me stronger than I was before. And finally, to come full circle to say, you know what, I like who I am. I like me. And I have gifts, and I have special things to offer people. And that was just one person that I gave my gifts to that didn't appreciate them. And my dad would always say, "Don't mess your what?"
This is one thing that I see, and it's very common, that many people that have gone through difficult situations, such as breakups, or such as accidents, or such anything that you can think of that you can call it a difficult situation, everyone has right now such beautiful words when looking back, because you can see that when they share and when they talk about it, you see them that it's a positive, it's a encouraging for other people. And for example, most of the motivational speakers that are out there, that are those that are on the road, their story comes from a difficult situation. So there you have it. You have it again. You have a different. The people in that book that you referred as The Secret all come from difficult situations that they have changed and turned their life around. And that is it. That is changing poison into medicine. And it's a good way to start any day with that in mind, with that in heart. That is one thing that I speak with the groups and with the youth, and we talk it within ourselves too, within our hearts. We have to have that the momentum of change in our life often comes from a difficult situation. You know, that difficult situation is going to make you change your mind. It's going to make you change your heart. It's going to make you change your word. It's going to make you move to another place. It's going to make you quit your job and get another one. Or you know, it's like the starting point of many people's careers. A difficult situation, knowing that you have to do something. But what do I do? Where do I go? How do I start? You know, when you have all of these questions, the answers are also looking for you. The answers are out there looking for you. You just have to make yourself out there. You put yourself in a situation that you are saying, here I am, you know, let's do this. When we started the chat room, we started this show, I don't remember if it was in August or what month really was. I think Annette, the person that was there at the time, knows, because I told her, we did a couple of interviews with the interest of the people that interviewed us to keep us on air in their station. And then we everything stopped and we began this again. This is we took a determination, and that determination led us to doing this and connecting with other people and a lot of people. But there was always one thing that when Annette will ask me, what are you going to talk today about, Tony? And even Rita this morning, she always asked me, what are you going to talk today about? I said, I don't know. What?
Tony, you've got 3 minutes.
Okay. We're just about to finish the show. Thank you very much. But when I said, I don't know, is because I am led by good spirit. I let, you know, what the words just flow and go through, and that's how we do this show. And, of course, with the company of each and every one of you. We're on Apache Radio Network live right now, so everyone in Indian Nation is listening to our show. And I have to say thank you very much to each and every one of you for being with us and sharing your stories with us today. And you, Reed, thank you very much for the call. I'm seeing a different number over here, but if you say 3 minutes, it's 3 minutes. Sherry,
yes,
are you still there?
Well, it's like 2.5 right now.
All right. Well, whenever I hear somebody, you have 3 minutes, I make it 10 seconds. I'm so, like, think about not following instructions. That's an example right there. Thank you for sharing, everyone, your good spirit, your good energy with us, and making a difference in other people's lives. And remember that your dreams and your mission is very much important, so let's make it a reality, okay? Let's make it a reality, and let's ask the good spirits to guide us in the process of that. There you go, 90 seconds. Thank you very much, Rebecca. I call her Rebecca. So your thoughts, your dreams, your ambitions, whether big or small, are very much important in life. Let's make it happen. I want to motivate you enough so you can make things happen, and you say, Tony, I'm on my way to do this. I'm on my way to do that. And you know that our friendship will grow throughout. We're about to wrap up the show for today, and I have to say thank you very much to Rita, to Kelly, to Sherry, to Alenka, to everyone, and Linda Johnston, everyone that has been in the chat room. I have something over here blocking my view, besides the microphone. And everyone over there at Apache Radio Network, many blessings today, okay? Be blessed, be loved. We're going to wrap this show. See you guys tomorrow. Goodbye.